All right, good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm excited. We're going to be doing a sermon series that came from just our discussion around the table as the leadership team, and I'll talk more about that in a little bit, but let's just pray for the word, and then we'll get right into it, all right? Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, for being in this place today, oh God, and we thank you, Lord, that you've already been preparing hearts and minds to receive the word this morning, God. I pray, Lord, that the soil has been churned up, God, and ready to receive what is being sown into it today, oh God, and may it bear fruit to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And many of life's battles are either won or lost in the mind. And maybe you've heard that phrase before, the battlefield of the mind. And Paul addresses this a little bit in Romans 7. He talks about the fact that we have this battle back and forth between the flesh, our earthly nature, and our spiritual nature. And he says, in fact, in the CEV, in fact, I don't understand why I act the way I do. I don't do what I know is right. I do the things I hate. Right? And then later he says, who will rescue me from this body that is doomed to die? Who will rescue me? And he's talking about the very common battle between this fleshly nature, our earthly nature, or the fallen nature that wants to do what we want to do, right? We have this earthly nature that wants to do what we want to do. And for those that are Christians, for those that follow Christ, the spiritual nature is the one that is connected to God, and that's what wants to do what's pleasing to God. You might know this battle. Your flesh wants to do what it wants to do. Your spirit wants to do what's contrary to the fleshly nature or what God wants you to do. And so there is this battle going on that's often fought in the mind. The mind decides, should I obey my lower earthly nature or should I obey the spirit person who is connected to God? The battle is fought primarily in the mind. The problem is that so many of us, we're losing a battle because our mind has been polluted with toxic thoughts and lies from the evil one. And so I welcome you again to this part one of Ripple Effect. And I welcome those that are watching online too. I want to give you an overview over the next few weeks. We had talked about Hebrews 13 last week and how our Christian witness is dictated by what that scripture had told us, how we should behave in hospitality, our heart, and even in relationship to your pastor. So there's three things that I want to talk about over the next few weeks. And we talked about a ripple effect, right, where if you drop a pebble in a pond, you can't control the way the ripples go, but you certainly can control the pebble and where it goes initially before it falls. In the same way, we have the opportunity to make positive or negative ripples in our lives by the choices that we make. And the first thing that begins in our minds, all right? But next week, we're going to talk about this week is thought life. Next week is going to be prayer life and how that creates ripples in our lives. And the other one is love life, and it's not what you think. It's how we love one another and our relationship outside, within the church and outside of the church, and how that creates ripple effects, primarily in our own families and generationally, and how we leave a legacy for those that follow after us, right? That's the ripple effect of our lives. And so we have a thought life, we have a prayer life, and then we have this life that we live in context with others, and we create ripples. And so I'm going to encourage you to be here for all 3 weeks so that you can see how they all come together, amen? This ripple effect that we have. Well, this first one is, I'm talking about toxic thoughts. And you know, if you've been around me any length of time, you know that that is kind of like, this is my passion, is to have people understand that this battlefield that's going on in your mind is the primary directive for almost everything else in your life. It is the jumping off point for everything else. If we can get this right, most everything else is going to follow through. Amen? Negative thoughts, in all honesty, have been a challenge for me my whole life. I was immersed in a very negative culture growing up, and people poured negativity into my life 24/7. I developed a very an inner dialogue and an outer dialogue of negativity, complaining and seeing and being critical. And not to mention that some of us are just wired that way, depending on our personality types. If you're a melancholy at all, you will find the negative easily. But I believe that I've had tremendous victory and made more progress than I ever thought possible because of this concept of renewing my mind, that we can capture these toxic thoughts and replace them with the truth of God's word. So if I can do it, if I was immersed, it's like being in a pond of negativity. Eventually it gets on you, right? The scum of the pond gets on you. And I had a lot of pond scum on me. But if I can get the victory over that, so can you. Amen? All right. Some of those negative thoughts had become burned into my mind, like burning data into a hard drive over the course of time. And eventually, it began to just come out of my mouth and how I thought and how I interacted with people. For example, I would go into a social situation. I know you see me here on a Sunday morning, and I look like I'm very comfortable doing this, but I'm not in any way, shape, or form. This is a huge stretch for me because it puts me completely vulnerable to what everybody else thinks. And if you've ever been in a position where you are in front of somebody and people might have an opinion and you're worried about what people think, this is a very awkward position for me. And in the beginning, when I began preaching, I would sit up here and even while words are coming out of my mouth, I would be thinking, they're just staring at me. They're not hearing this at all. This is the worst message ever. What are you doing? Who do you think you are? So all of those things, because of this negative culture that I was raised up in, I had negative thoughts all the time. I would have hard times in social situations. I would go into a room that was filled with people, and immediately before I began to open my mouth, I was defeated because I said, these people don't want to know me. Why would they want to know you? Just sit in a corner. And so I would. I was defeated before I even began because of the negative thoughts that came up in my mind. But God is giving me the victory. Hallelujah. I wrote this, Neil. You probably appreciate it. It's probably why I began to drink before I ever went out. And a lot, right? Because that was my ability to create a personality or a persona that I thought everybody would like. They're not going to like this one, but I'll make one. Anyway, that's a story for another day. The bottom line is this. If you think negative thoughts, you will become a negative person. If you think like God, you will become like Christ. I'm going to say that again. If you think negative thoughts, you will become a negative person. If you think like God, you will become like Christ. And that's the ripple effect. That's what we're talking about. Your thought life will create these ripples, either positive or negative, right? Every action has an opposite equal and opposite reaction. That's physics. In the same way, as we live our lives, you cannot think that your behavior, your thoughts, your actions don't have an effect. They do. Everything that we do has an effect, and so we have to be aware that our ripple effect is either going to be positive or negative. It's going to happen. Right? It's going to happen. We are going to create ripples in the water of our lives, but we want them to be positive, not negative. It's the thought that counts. All right? I want you to say that after me. It's the thought that counts. Say it again. It's the thought that counts. All right? One more time for the Holy Ghost. It's the thought that counts. Amen, right? It's not a Hallmark moment. It's the thought that counts. Or, you know, like I had all these intentions of doing something, and then we would say, it's the thought that counts. But honestly, in this realm, it's the thought, the things that we're thinking, it's the thought that counts. We want to learn to identify and reject toxic thoughts. Proverbs 4:23 says, carefully guard your thoughts because they are the source of true life. Carefully guard your hearts. Now, the good news is, if we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 to 5, we find out that we have weapons that we fight with are not weapons of the world. Right? So if we want to capture these thoughts, if we want to take offense against these toxic thoughts in our life, we need to know that we have some weapons in order to do so. Okay? So we have weapons that are not of the world. We are in a battle. We talked about that in the beginning of this. There's this battle between the spirit and the flesh constantly going on. And we don't fight with worldly weapons. We have spiritual weapons. Amen? Yes. Right? I can't do it in my own strength. But I can do it through the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, on the contrary, they have divine power. hope that gets you excited, right? Divine power. The Greek word that's translated is dunamis, right? Have you heard that term before? It's the same word where we get the root of dynamite. It's the explosive, incredible power of God, right? We have divine power. Our spiritual weapons, they have divine power to do what? It goes on to say to demolish strongholds. Amen? Our weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish. Demolish. Does that mean just kind of tap and scratch the surface of? Demolish strongholds. Again, the Greek word translated as strongholds is the word akaruma. It means a prisoner locked by deception. A prisoner locked by deception. So many people today, we're not becoming who we are in God or what God wants us to become because we're locked in a deception of lies. Half of my life was deception of lies, and I believed everything that everybody said about me. I'm so grateful that I know what God's word says about me. I could be living defeated, but I live victorious because the power of Christ to demolish those strongholds. I was a prisoner with what people said about me. Divine power. Hallelujah. You believe something about yourself that's not true. You're locked in a prison of lies, and today the power of God will demolish these strongholds. Hallelujah. We have to be willing to know that we have this promise. It's a promise that we have these divine weapons. It says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So what do? It says, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Our thoughts are our prisoners, right? We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So I want to walk you through an exercise. I want to talk about four different areas where you might struggle with stinking thinking, okay? We're going to talk about negative thoughts. I want to talk about fearful thoughts. I want to talk about discontented thoughts. And I want to talk about critical thoughts, those four areas. And we're going to identify where we might be prone to toxic thoughts so we can reject them and replace them with the truth of God's word. Amen? Am I going too fast for you today? Do you have your seatbelts on? Okay, good. Number one, negative thoughts. negative thoughts. Let me give you, I don't have what it takes. I'm not good enough. Everything bad happens to me and everything good happens to you. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not appreciated. I give and give and give and everybody just takes and takes and takes. I have the spiritual gift of giving and they have the spiritual gift of taking. I'm not appreciated. Life is not fair. Now, I know I'm making fun, but honestly, right? Anybody want to be honest? Can we be honest in this place today? Anybody honest to say you ever struggle with negative thoughts? Amen, amen. All right, so we're going to take those captive and make them obedient to Christ, all right? We're going to replace them with the truth of God's word. Number two, fearful thoughts. What if I lose my job? My kid is moving all the way across the country. What if something happens to her? The news, I turn on the news every morning, it's awful. There's terrorists everywhere. There's poison in my water. Everything's unhealthy. My food is poisoned. What are they putting in that cow? I don't know. There's so much fear out there. I don't feel safe. I worry about my kids. Anybody ever do this? This just happened to me recently, actually. She's not here. Good. Cameron was very late one night. Coming home, she had gone to a friend's house. Anybody ever do this? They're supposed to be home by a certain time. Now it's 20 minutes later. All right? Do you all have them wrapped around a tree somewhere? Mike, they're dead. That's it. Something awful has happened. Like you, this is what I do. And Tom's downstairs now, but he would profess and say, yes, Debbie, you struggle with this area. So fearful thoughts. Anybody want to say you've ever had fearful thoughts in your life? Okay, amen, amen. Discontented thoughts. I wish I were thinner. I wish I were smarter. I wish my wife wouldn't nag me so much. I wish my husband were a better supporter. I wish he were more like that guy. Look at, he's a strong spiritual leader. Why come my husband's not like that? How come my wife's not holy like that woman over there? I wish I had kids. I wish I had a husband. I wish I had better kids. I wish I had a better car. I wish I had a better house. I want a better job. I want better clothes. Discontented thoughts. We start taking our eye off of Jesus and start fixing it on the things of the natural and compare, and we become discontented. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and stay in our lane, it's easy not to get discontented. But as soon as we start looking around at what everybody else has had, and then our hearts get a spirit of ingratitude, thanklessness. And so we have these discontented thoughts. Anybody want to say you ever have a discontented thought? Amen. So there's a lot of similarities, right? Critical thoughts. I would never do that. What are they doing with their kids? Honestly, they need to be disciplined. I can't believe she wore that to church. I don't even like these people. My boss is an idiot. Honestly, have you seen what he's done lately? I'm not saying that because my boss is. But you know how it gets, like we get critical and we start looking like, and then some people even get critical in church, right? The music's too loud, the messages are boring. I wish, the lighting were better. Does anybody know any critical people in their life? All right, so you're already being critical. Oh, I caught you. But here's the fact that it goes, that the battle in the spirit world is won or lost in your mind. It's won or lost in your mind. And here's the thing, and this is where it comes right back on you. Ready? You have a choice. You have a choice. You have a choice. You have a choice. We have a choice in how we are going to respond and how we're going to think. You have a choice. You can always, say always, you can always find something to be negative about, critical about, discontented about, fearful about. You can always find something to complain about. Amen. But you can always find something to rejoice about. You can always find the area where you can give God all the praise. You can always find those areas that are a blessing in your life. It is all in what you look for. It is all in what you look for. So I'm going to give you a comparison. A hummingbird versus a vulture. Hummingbird, vulture. So you tell me where you are. No, keep it to yourself. Hummingbird, what does a hummingbird do? Outside of the fact that its wings are like all the time, if you ever watch them, they're incredible. They go from nectar to nectar to nectar to nectar to nectar to nectar, right? That's what they're looking for. They're looking for those pretty flowers. They go from flower to flower looking for nectar all the time. Do you think they find nectar? Yes, because that's what they're looking for. Now, a vulture, what does a vulture look for? Dead things, right? Waiting for the dead things, and you think it finds it. So you can have a hummingbird mentality and be looking for the good and the sweet and the tasty things of life, or we can be a vulture mentality and look for the dead, stinking, rotten things. Will we find what we're looking for? Yes, we will. You'll find what you're looking for. Now, Jeremiah 12:3 is a verse that I think everybody has heard before, but it was fascinating when I looked this up. We hear the first half. Let me give you the first half. Yet you know me, O Lord. You see me and test my thoughts about you. Does that sound familiar? Some of you ever heard that verse before? Yet you know me, O Lord. You see me and test my thoughts about you. Basically, he's saying, God, if there's anything inconsistent with your character and nature, here's what I want you to do with it. Now, here's the second half of that verse. You ready? Drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter. Now that's Jeremiah 12:3 in its entirety. Isn't it good to know the whole counsel of God? You can't pick verses out and go, he knows my thoughts. Yes, he does, and he knows the bad ones that need to be dragged off like sheep to the slaughter and butchered. Amen? So we want God to take those things out of our minds and drag it off. Anything not consistent with your nature, oh God, drag it off. Amen? So how do we make changes? It's one thing for me to say, okay, I've identified that everybody kind of shares the same patterns of negative thought process, negative thoughts, discontented, critical, fearful, all of those things. What do we do to change that? First, we identify and reject. All right, so we're going to identify those thoughts as they come into our minds, identify them as being a tool of the enemy, and reject them. And let me show you with what. We replace the toxic thoughts with God's truth. Okay, Philippians 4:7-8 says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers and sisters, you ready? This is what we're going to do. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Think about such things. So you have to make a switch. You have to change your perspective, just like the hummingbird or the vulture looking for the good or for the bad. We want to make a switch. I remember when we were going through the worst of our financial crisis, Tom and I, when you're going through stuff like that, you can find the bad really easily. And it got to a point where we had a bad case of stinking thinking and feeling sorry for ourselves. But basically, at some point, at least with Tom, and it probably took me a little bit longer, he made this switch. And here's the switch. There's probably a million people that would like to change places with me. And it's all in your perspective. And so instead of having a case of stinking thinking, we found the blessings. We are blessed. We have our health. We have our family. We're surrounded by our kids, and we love one another. We have a roof over our home. They want to take it, but it's okay. We have a roof over our home. And we have a means of getting food on the table. We have a church back then that was giving us food out of the food pantry. We have food. We're not starving. We saw the blessings, and it changed everything. So we make a switch at some point. Who would change places with you? You are blessed. You're blessed. So it looks like this. And maybe you've said this before. After as bad as I've been, after all the things I've done, I could never make a difference. No. Right? I reject that. And you'll say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Or everything bad always happens to me. No! You have a good God who is working good in all things to those who love God, right? And you do. And are called according to his purpose, and you are. So you have a good God, right? How about, oh, I'm never going to overcome. I'm always going to be fill in the blank, right? No, you need to reject it. And God's word says you are an overcomer by the blood of the lamb and the word of your testimony, right? God is your rock. He's your redeemer. He's your righteousness. Inside of you is the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, right? Amen. You are blessed of God. You are blessed coming in and going out. You are redeemed. You are sanctified. You are the righteousness of God. You are called. You are equipped. You are everything. You have everything you need to do everything that God has called you to do. That's the truth of what we need to reject and replace what our minds say. Romans 12:2. And this is my soapbox. Do not conform. Did you see how I did that right there? I just got up on one. Okay, that's all I got. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. How are we transformed? By renewing our mind. Again, it's not a 12-step program, even though I'm not slamming 12-step programs, right? And it's not, I'm going to rededicate myself to the Lord over and over and over again. No! We need to renew our minds through the power of God's word. Then, it says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The renewing of your mind, that comes from knowing God's word. And the more that you know God's word, the greater that ripple effect is going to be in your life. A little of God's word, little ripples. A lot of God's word, big ripples, big positive ripples in your life that'll make a difference. Not only, hey, come on now, not only to you, but everybody around you, amen? That's the point of the ripple effect, is we change the way that we think and we transform our minds, then everybody around us is going to be affected the same way. What's going on? Kim, man, you're so positive. Why? What is going on? He was like, well, I know the truth of God's word, right? Then you can share, you can speak that truth of that life into somebody else's existence and make a difference for them. Know your word. I'm going to implore you, start reading God's word. Know those promises. So I want to review. Your thoughts really do matter. A toxic thought contains poisonous material capable of causing sickness or even death, spiritual death, amen? I've known people that just begin the process of negative thinking, and before you know it, they are out. They are so far away from God, they don't even know what happened. It's just a trickle, a trickle, a trickle. Like I said, the same ripple effect. It's either positive or negative. And we want you to stay close, drawn into the Lord. Right? Doing mighty exploits in his name, and that only comes with renewing our minds. So, that's why we're going to identify and reject the toxic thoughts in our lives. The Bible tells us to carefully guard our thoughts because they are the source of true life. Scripture also says that the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, those prisons we've set up in our minds. They are demolished by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us to carefully guard our thoughts because they are the source of true life. Scripture says the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. Jeremiah says, yet you know me, O Lord. You see and test my thoughts about you. Drag them off like a sheep to be slaughtered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter. We will. Say, we will. Identify and reject all toxic thoughts, and we will replace those thoughts with God's truth. All right, God's word says the peace of God, then, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's why we will think on whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and admirable. We're going to think on those things. If they're excellent and praiseworthy, we will think about such things. Amen? I hope you took notes. We do have it in recording. This will be recorded. But I'm telling you, I even bought little notebooks. Did anybody find them out there in the lobby? I wanted to make sure we had notebooks. This is so important. I'm telling you, this is so important. It is the foundation of everything else. Your thought life is the foundation of everything else in your life. You've got to get it right. You've got to get it right. You've got to begin to cleanse out the toxic thoughts that are killing you. Slowly. It's like having just a little bit of arsenic in your water over a course of time. Before you know it, the insides are frozen up. You can have arsenic of your mind and your heart is frozen because of what is being done in your spirit and your emotions and your mind. You've got to get this one right. I encourage you. Reject the lies of the enemy and replace it with God's truth. You would just join me in prayer. Heavenly Father God, we just come before you, God. We're thankful, O Lord, that we have the tools to replace all of the negative thinking in our lives, oh God, and that your truth of your word is such a refreshment, God, such a bounty of promises and faithfulness and truth, God, that can reject any lie that we have set up against the truth of your word. And God, we just know that if we begin to pour your word into our hearts and our minds, God, that this negative thinking will be removed, oh God. And we pray, Lord, that God, as a negative thought comes in, we would recognize it for what it is and reject it. Say, no, that's a lie. God's truth says otherwise. And begin to take offense against the negative lies of the enemy, God, that we are on the offensive. But God, we do not do battle alone. Hallelujah. We are given weapons, divine weapons, to remove those strongholds in our lives. And we thank you, oh God. We thank you, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, oh God. And some within the sound of my voice, that even now there is a war going on. A war for your very soul. And that in hearing a message like this, you feel something in your spirit, in your mind, in your heart, and you're being drawn to God. And the war begins in your mind, and it says, that's just emotionalism. There's nothing really there. And the other half is the Holy Spirit wanting to draw you closer, and these things are set up against one another. And you have a choice today to reject the lies of the enemy that would say that there's nothing for you here, and that you would receive the promise of God through Christ Jesus today. And the truth is that God loves you so much that he sent his only son. And that if you would believe in him, you would have eternal life. That's the truth. And the enemy would have you taken out and removed. And so I pray, God, that those that are being drawn would receive the promise of God today and would reject the lies of the enemy, would tell them that it's emotionalism or something else, but that your Holy Spirit is drawing them in truth to a life abundant, a life of victory. You have a choice today to reject it or to receive it. And in that receiving, you are promised new life. That God's word tells us that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone, the new has come, but it comes from making a decision to follow after him, to receive that gift, to receive the truth. And so I invite you to pray with me, and maybe this is the first time you've ever said this prayer, and maybe you've said it before. I ask the church to come alongside those that might be saying this prayer for the first time, and just repeat after me, Heavenly Father, take all of my life. I choose you. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus, save me. Forgive me of my sins. Make me brand new. My life is not my own. I give it to you. Thank you for new life. Renew my mind as I give you my life, all for you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us rejoice in what God is doing. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I thank you. Grace and peace be with you today. Hallelujah.